You know, I'm just really excited to begin this journey, and I really think this five-week journey is going to be a challenging. It is going to be challenging. It's going to be inspiring, but also encouraging to us as well. And so, first off, I just want to let you know that I am praying for you as the pastor of this church, and I'm praying for each and every one of you to really experience and encounter Jesus in a powerful and profound way through these 5 weeks. To really open up your heart and see what God wants to do inside of you, through you, and around you through this journey that we're taking. You know, this cannonball journey, we're at the halftime moment, like Pastor James said in the video. But really, I think for a lot of us here in Temecula, this is really the beginning. Like, this is the start of this journey for us, because we've not really even been a church, but we've only been a church for 2 years. We talked about that earlier. And we've seen God do some pretty incredible things over our two-year history, but there's so much more that God has for us. I don't know if you knew this or not, but this church actually started with just 10 people, and 6 of those were kids. Yeah. That's how this church started. In a living room, a little over 2.5 years ago. So right now, to be sitting here 2 years later from our official launch, and we have over 225 people that regularly attend this church on a monthly basis, that is incredible to see what God has done over this period. You know, I'm just going to give you a few stats that we can celebrate here. In 2017 alone, so just last year, at this church, not across all of our churches, just our church in Temecula, we baptized 18 people as a church family. That's awesome. There are churches that are hundreds more than us that don't baptize that in a 3-year period. We saw 18 people baptized. Not only that, just last year in 2017, we saw 27 people choose to follow Jesus for the first time, just in 2017. You know, whenever I think about why we do what we do, why are we here doing this each Sunday? Not only to have fun in church is fun, but when I'm up at here, you know, before 7 a.m., and it's just me and it's freezing cold, and I'm like, why do we do this? 27 people coming to know Jesus in 1 year as a church, that's why we're doing this. I mean, that's incredible to see what God has done through this place. Not only did 27 people choose to follow Jesus for the first time, 35 people recommitted their life to Jesus last year, just in this church alone. You know, it was a fun year. It was an exciting year where God did a lot of things in our midst, but I know that this year is going to be even better than last year. This second year of the cannonball journey, but really 2018 for us as a church family in Temecula is going to be even better than 2017 was, because we're just getting started here, and God has so much in store, not just for our church family's future, but you in your future. God has so much in store for you specifically. He wants to come into your life. He wants to change you, to grow you, to bless you. And really, that's my prayer, is that through this journey, not only would we be challenged and encouraged, but that we would walk away from this more fulfilled, more content, more satisfied in our life and our life with Jesus than we were when we started this. More surrendered to Him and His mission. So in halftime, what happens, you know, in basketball or football or I don't know what other sport has halftime. Hockey has like a 2/3 time, which is weird. Hockey people. Baseball, we don't even need halftime for baseball. No, I'm just kidding. I like baseball. So, but at halftime, what happens, you know, basketball and football, you know, the team gets together. They evaluate the first half. Then the coach says, here's what we're going to do in our second half to try and win. And winning is, it's a pretty simple concept in sports. When it's halftime, what you do to win in the second half is you score more points than your opponent. Right? Like, that's how you win. If you are tied, you need to score more. If you're down, whatever. The point is, in the second half, we want to score more points than our opponent. But as a church family, as a Jesus follower, sometimes it can be a little confusing and a little murky. Like, what does it mean to really win? What does it mean for me to win as a Jesus follower? What does it mean for us as a church family to win as a church family? Now, there's all kinds of things that we could say for us as a church family. I mean, seeing more people choose to follow Jesus, that's huge. That's a big part of that. Knowing more of God's word, I mean, that's a part of winning numerical growth as a church, financial growth. But really, if we boiled it down, what does it look like to win as a Jesus follower? What does it look like to win as a church family? It could simply be defined as this. Winning equals doing what God asks us to do. That's what winning is as a Jesus follower. That's what winning looks like as a church family. Doing what God asks us to do. Because in the end, that's all we really have. I mean, one day when this life is over, all we really have is, did we do what God was asking us to do? And sometimes we can think and dream about these massive things and God's just asking us to take the next step. What's that next simple step that God is asking you to do? So what does winning look like for us as a church family? Just doing what God has asked us to do. Whatever that is, listening to Jesus and doing what he asked us to do. So our primary goal throughout this Cannonball journey has not been $27 million. Our primary goal has nothing to do with money. Our number one primary goal, and it's the first thing you can fill in your notes today, our primary goal has always been 100% participation. That 100% of the people in this church participate in this spiritual journey. That 100% of the people that call this church home, you and all of our churches, all nine churches in the network, that 100% participate in this journey. That we say, yes, I'm going to jump into this journey. I'm going to jump into it with Jesus. I'm going to decide that I want my life to make waves for his kingdom, and I'm going to participate in what Jesus is asking me to do. We want 100% of you to be more surrendered to Jesus at the end of this journey than you are right now. To be more content, more fulfilled, more challenged than you are right now. And also our primary goal has been for us, the next thing you can fill in your notes, is for all of us to move from me to we. For all of us to move in our journey from what's in it for me, what do I get out of this, to what part can I play in the lives of others? What can I do to participate in the kingdom of God? And what can I do that will not just benefit me, that will benefit his kingdom and will benefit other people? To move from what's in it for me to what can I do for we? You know, I want each of us to participate. Just as your pastor, I want you to participate in this journey because I 100% know what God does whenever we step out in faith. Anytime we choose to take a step of faith and say, okay, God, I'm going to take this step and I'm trusting you to show up, every single time God shows up. So I want you to participate in this journey because I want you to see God's faithfulness through your life. I want you to understand how big God is and how much he loves you and how much that when we take a step of faith, how much he responds to us. Whenever we make ourselves available for him to use, he will always use us for his kingdom. You know, we're calling this series Ripple Effect because it's a great picture of what happens whenever we decide to be used by Jesus for his kingdom. We do something and then it creates ripple effects that we don't even understand. What we do right now, here today, what we do as a church family, what you do as a Jesus follower matters. Your life is significant in the kingdom of God. What you do matters. What we do matters. And it matters more than we can even see or realize in the here and now. There's a book called All the Places to Go, and it's written by a guy named John Ortberg. And I really think he kind of characterizes what a ripple effect looks like. And he takes two stories from Scripture that if you've grown up in church, you've heard them before, or if you're new, that's okay. I'll tell you the story here in a minute. But he takes these two stories and kind of categorizes them with this idea of ripple effect in mind. The first one is from John chapter 6, verse 1 through 15, and it's the story of the boy with the bread and fish. And basically, there's Jesus is with 5,000 people out in the wilderness, and there's no food. And so he sends his disciples, go find food for him. And they find this little boy, and all he has is five loaves and two fish, five pieces of bread and two fish. And he offers them up to Jesus. And then Jesus takes the loaves and the fishes, and he prays over them, and it multiplies. And over 5,000 people get to eat that day because of this one little boy's willingness to be used. And John Ortberg writes it like this. He said, "A boy goes to hear a talk given by a great teacher. There's nothing special about this boy, humanly speaking. He carries with him an ordinary lunch of five ordinary loaves and two ordinary fish packed by one ordinary mother. No one in that crowd looked less significant than him. And yet, when the disciples were looking for food that could be shared, a thought shot through the boy's mind. He could share what he brought. He could give what he had. His small gift in the hands of the Savior became multiplied beyond his imagination." And then here's the ripple effect. For 2,000 years, that story has been celebrated. One little boy's act of obedience, one little boy's act of willingness has created a ripple effect that 2,000 years later, we're hearing that story, and it creates an impact in our hearts and our lives when we hear it. The next story is from Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 4, and it's the story of a widow's offering. And John writes it this way. He says, a widow passes by the treasury box at the temple. You know, we have the silver boxes on your way out. That's kind of the concept. The widow passes by the treasury box, passes by the place where they would give their offering. And in it, she places two small coins, all that she has. She knows it will be the smallest gift given on that day. That humanly speaking, those two coins don't really make a difference. From her perspective, this might even seem to be foolhardy. She could never know that there was one man who was watching her. And that one man, his name was Jesus. And he told everyone around him that she gave more than anyone else. She could have never known that her story would inspire millions of people across thousands of years to give billions of dollars to the mission of Jesus. Do not despise the day of small things, for we do not know what is small in God's eyes. Jesus said she gave more than everyone else because she gave all she had. See, spiritual size is not measured the same way that physical size is measured. What does winning look like as a Jesus follower? Doing what God asks us to do. Making ourselves available for Him. Oh, what the Savior can do when we make our lives available to Him. Oh, what the Savior can do when we say, here's what I have, take it and use it. It's given to you for you. That's what a ripple effect is. When we say, God, use my life any way that you see fit. And then God takes it and He multiplies our gift to do His purposes. So why are we talking about this? Why are we going to spend 5 weeks talking about this whole idea of a ripple effect? And the reason we're going to do this is because that's what Jesus said we're supposed to do as followers of Him. We're supposed to gather together as a church. It's something the church has been doing for thousands of years. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25, it says this, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's what this 5 weeks is about, us getting together and spurring one another on, encouraging one another, challenging one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, continuing to meet, as some are in the habit of doing, giving it up. But we are to encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. The closer the day gets to when Jesus returns, we're to continue to meet together and encourage one another. Write this next thing down in your notes. Following Jesus involves much more than just believing. It involves belonging. Following Jesus involves belonging to a family of believers. Belonging to a church, and not a building that you come to, but a group of people who are following Jesus together. That's what a church is. You know, following Jesus was never meant to be a solo sport. It was always meant to be a team sport. It's like baseball, not golf. Both great sports, which I love, but very different in their approach. Golf is all about the individual performance, where baseball is about everyone on the team playing their position and playing it well. That's what this community of Jesus followers is supposed to be. The church is supposed to be people coming together and playing our part, doing what Jesus asked us to do for one another. John chapter 17, verse 20 through 23, on the back side of your notes, you can read that. This is what Jesus actually prayed for His followers. Jesus prays for us. He prayed over His disciples, and He prayed for us to be unified as His church. Jesus said, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's us. He's praying for us. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. He's talking to the Father. As the Heavenly Father, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. He goes on and says, I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Following Jesus is not just about believing, it's about belonging, about being in a family of Jesus followers that are unified in his mission. So here is my prayer through this journey. My prayer is that we take it together. My prayer is that we take this journey together. The last thing, you can write that in your notes. We are on this journey together. As a Jesus community, as a church family, we're on this journey together. Saying, God, what are you asking me to do in this season? What are you asking me to give during this period? What are you asking me to do? And as we respond to that invitation from Jesus, he takes it and makes ripple effects that we could never, that we will never, we won't even know until we enter into heaven one day. The widow that gave the two coins, the boy who gave the bread and the fish. They now know, as they're in heaven in eternity, they now know what their little sacrifice did. But in the moment, they had no idea what ripple effects would happen from their gift, from their willingness to be used by Jesus for Jesus. Now, our worship team is going to go ahead and come on up, and they are going to sing our theme song. So the rest of the series, we're going to sing this song together in our worship set. But today, they're just going to kind of sing it over us. We're going to sit and just listen to the words and read them and consider, because this song really talks about what ripple effect is all about and what's going on. That what we do matters and what we do is significant, and we're praying, God, let it echo throughout the generations. Let it echo in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. Let your good news that has changed our lives go out and change others' lives as we make ourselves available to you. And then after they sing the song, I'm going to come back up, and there's a few more things we're going to go over. But let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that as we listen to the words of this song, that we would open our hearts and our minds to hear from you, to receive from you. I pray as we are just stepping into this, the first week of this journey together, I pray that you would challenge us, inspire us, encourage us. God, I pray you'd give us strength and boldness to step out in faith, because we know every time we step out in faith, you show up and you do big and amazing things. I pray that each one of us here would know that our life matters, that what we do matters, and that anytime we make ourselves available to you, to be used by you, for you, you take our small gift of time, or talent, or treasure, and in your hands, it's multiplied greater than we could ever imagine. I pray that you would do infinitely more through us than we could ever think or ask or imagine. In Jesus' name.